Now, Acts chapter 20 will be the source of our study this morning, continuing this study through the book of Acts. And it's been a blessing for me. I hope it has for you also. We're going to shift gears a little bit this morning. I'm going to speed things up just a little bit. It's needful that we finish this book, and so I'm not really skipping things, but if you want to kind of keep up, I would encourage you to read a few chapters ahead, okay? And so this morning it's Acts chapter 20. We'll begin in verse 17. We're going to talk about the course, talking about the course of life, the direction of life. And Paul says he's going to finish his course. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 17, Acts chapter 20 says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me there. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of worship, the privilege of worship this morning. We thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, you'd open our minds, our hearts, and our ears. That, Lord, you will teach us through the guidance of your Holy Spirit today, that we may know you, that we may draw near to you, that we may be more productive, that we may be more fruitful for the glory of your kingdom and the good of your kingdom. Father, we pray again, your will be done in this service. Give us hearts to hear and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, today we're shifting gears just a little bit, but Paul is also shifting gears in that he's going from being a missionary to being a prisoner. He's headed in that direction, okay? Now, he doesn't become arrested today. That's a little later on, but he's preparing for that. He knows that's in his future. And so Paul is one of the tasks that he's taking is he's preparing churches, preparing those that he had an influence with to be without him. And he calls the elders of the church at Ephesus to prepare them. As a matter of fact, he tells them, "You're not going to see me anymore." And so now in verse 25, he shares with the church elders at Ephesus, or from Ephesus, he shares his new mission. And his new mission is that he finished the course. Up to this point, he's been establishing churches, preaching the gospel in various cities, and now God has a new plan. Now, it's not new. God's plan has always been this for Paul, but it's going to shift the direction that he goes in the days ahead. And Paul's desire at this point is to finish well. That's pretty important, isn't it? You never come to that point where you say, "I quit." You come to that point where you say, "I want to finish well." And that's what Paul is sharing with the church at Ephesus. As a matter of fact, as a little later on, as he approaches the end of his ministry, he told Timothy that in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he said, "I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all that love His appearing. Now, isn't that your desire today to finish your course? And when I say that, you understand, you make that statement, and those younger crowds, it's just like, yeah, you know, I got a long way to go. Well, you may not have as long as you think, number one. And number two, you got to finish. You've got to finish. From this point forward, you've got to finish. And the way you finish well is you make sure that you're following God's course or God's path for your life. Today, we're going to learn how to finish. How to finish well. And we start, number one, by learning our lessons from the past. Paul opened the text that we read by sharing what he had done in the past with the churches in Asia. Number one, he served the Lord, it says, with humility. Two words I want to define so that we have a clear picture. When Paul said, I've served the Lord with humility, that word Lord, and we use that very loosely oftentimes, that word Lord means owner. So when Paul uses this, he uses the word Lord. He's saying, I'm owned by someone else. There's an authority over me, and it's not me. Second thing he says was humility. I serve the Lord in humility. Now, humility is not walking around with your head down. Humility in this context means voluntary submission. Paul had voluntarily submitted himself, his life, everything about him to his owner. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, right? From the beginning, and from the beginning, Jesus had a plan for the life of the Apostle Paul. You know Jesus has a plan for you, right? And from the beginning, it's the same way with the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, he shared with Ananias right after Paul's conversion experience, and Paul was blind. In Damascus, he sent Ananias over to lay hands on Paul and heal him, restore his sight. And so Ananias said, Lord, don't you know this guy? He's terrible. He's awful. But look what God said about Paul. He said, but the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. He's going to bear my name before kings. He's going to talk to really important people, and he's going to tell them about me, Jesus says. He's also going to suffer a lot of things, Jesus said. And so the first thing Paul had to do when he was saved to accept the course that God had for his life was say, Lord, I'm yours. You lead me where you want me to go. That's what I want to be. Absolute submission. Now, I want to stop right here today. As I said, everybody here, all we've got to do is finish our course, right? Say amen so I know you're with me. All right. All we've got to do is finish our course. If we're going to finish our course, the one thing that's required, or one thing that is required, is humility. Absolute submission. Wherever God leads, whatever God wants, you surrender your life in that manner because He is the Lord of your life. Okay? One, if you're going to finish, you're going to have to finish in humility. Do it God's way. Second thing you're going to have to realize if you're going to finish well is it's not easy. It's not easy. He said in our text, Paul said, I've served with tears and trials. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment, and let's talk about Paul's tears. One of the things that just broke his heart was the constant rejection of his Jewish brethren. They persecuted him, but the thing that really broke his heart, it wasn't the persecution, it was that they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Broke his heart. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, it says, Paul said, I've had a great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul had such a heart for the Jews, his brethren, that he said, I could wish myself accursed. I wouldn't even be important if I could just get them to accept Jesus. But you know what? They didn't accept Jesus as Messiah. And man, it hurts when you know people that you love and you care about reject Jesus. It's a shot to the heart. That's why Paul said, man, I've been in tears and also trials. In 2 Corinthians 11:24, Paul basically described his ministry. And it says, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Right? He was beaten five times by his brethren. And he was given 39 lashes. The only reason they stopped at 39 is because the law made them stop at 40. And they never went to 40 because they were afraid they would miscount and break the law of Moses, right? And so, five times, Paul had received 39 lashes from the Jews. Three times he was beaten with rods. That's what the Romans did. Paul said, once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. What that is, of course, after shipwreck, he's floating in the ocean. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's a daily pressure on me, the concern for all the churches. What's Paul saying? It's been hard. I don't think believers quite understand that today. You know, if the pews are not soft enough and the temperature's not warm enough or cool enough, we tend to say, well, I'm not going. Paul said, look at what I've been through. It's not been an easy path. You know, It almost makes me smile when people get upset because somebody said something that hurt their feelings. I've never asked anybody this, but I want to say, have you been stoned yet? Then you're okay. You know? Have you been beaten yet? Well, you'll survive then. Okay? See, Christianity, it's never been easy. It's not designed to be easy. It's not intended to be easy. Serving the Lord will never be easy. So don't, as you serve, don't think, well, this is too hard. Just suck it up, buttercup, and get with it, you know. It's not going to be easy. Lesson three that Paul shared, never retreat. Never retreat. Paul said, I did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. That word shrink, it literally means to retreat. It was kind of a military term, to give up your ground. And no matter how hard it was, no matter how brokenhearted Paul was, no matter the cost, Paul never retreated. He never backed up his position on Jesus being the Messiah or backed away from that position. He never fell back and got in line with the Jews. Never. What do we learn? We never compromise the truth. Never. Never, never. You see, compromise is a black hole. In that if you ever go down that hole, there's no end to it. We see churches today that, you know, they call themselves churches, but they've accepted the idea that there's more than one way to heaven. Listen, it doesn't matter who's offended. Jesus is the only way to heaven, period. Conversation's over. You know? Sin is still sin. Immorality is still immorality. And if you ever bend on any of those positions, you'll bend on all of them. Paul said, I never shrunk back. I never retreated, gave up ground. The other thing he did is he taught the whole counsel of God, as he said. Listen, why is that important? Well, it's important because a lot of churches don't cover the whole counsel of God anymore. A lot of churches, it's just, hey, you be good, I'll be good, and God will be glad with us. There's more to it than that. This is the Word of God. We have to take it as the Word of God. And every part in here is important. When Paul said, I declared the whole council, he didn't pick and choose. I've heard people say, you know, I don't like the Old Testament, so I don't spend time over there. Really? You're missing the boat. You'll never get the big picture if you don't cover the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament tells us where we come from. It tells us how God used the Jews and brought our Savior, or where our Savior, Jesus, came from, out of the nation of Israel. Yeah? I also know people say, I don't like prophecy. Bless your heart. Listen, if you don't like prophecy, you don't know where we're going. But when you take the whole counsel of God, you look at where we came from, you look at where we've been, you look at where we're going. And yeah, some are a little more interesting than others, but if it were not important, God would not have given it to us. Never pick and choose. It's lessons we've learned from the past. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. God gave it. Let's preach and teach and study the entire counsel of God. These are lessons from the past. Second thing we got to do is we've got to assess the present. Paul, that's what Paul did. And we start with this question, are you Spirit-led? You do know that the Spirit still leads people, right? He still leads people. Paul was bound. Paul said, I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And that trip to Jerusalem was something Paul felt that he had to do. That's what he meant when he said, I'm bound. He said, it's like being tied up. I have no other choice. I'm carried by the Spirit. And this is important because there's numerous people who tell Paul, Paul, don't you go. Don't you go, Paul. Trouble's waiting you. As a matter of fact, there's one guy that the Spirit says the Spirit revealed to him that Paul was going to face persecution and bonds and prison. And he tells Paul not to go. You know what Paul says? Got to go. Why? Because he was bound by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always right. Have you ever known that you just needed to do something? There was a direction in life that God was calling you to. You had to go this direction. That's what Paul's talking about. It doesn't have to make sense. You know, we want it to be very logical and look at it and say, well, that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter. If God's leading that direction, God's right. Amen? Not a logical guy. Y'all probably know that by now. I just want to trust the Lord. And everyone doesn't have to agree with you. You know? Well, I don't like the direction you're going. I think you're just crazy, Brother Doug. Why are we going this direction, Brother Doug? Because the Spirit leads. Yeah? Well, Brother Doug, you have lost your mind, probably. That happened a long time ago, right? But you have to know, if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to know you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. If you do not have that assurance, you better get to praying. Right? That's what Paul's saying here as he goes into Jerusalem. Everybody tells him, don't go, don't go. I've got to. I'm led by the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit at work? Are you led by the Spirit at home? Are you led by where you should be, right? If you're going to finish well, you have to be Spirit-led. Second thing he did on assessing the present is he established his priorities. Are your priorities established? In verse 24, he said, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself so that I may finish my course. There was nothing in Paul's life that he was not willing to give up or even lose for the sake of completing God's mission in his life. It didn't matter. What did he have to do without? What he had to deal with? It didn't matter. Right? Because God was the first priority. And that's what he shares there in verse 24. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, he goes even farther. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. You do know if it doesn't matter in 20 years, it doesn't matter, right? If it doesn't matter in 50 years, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't have an eternal perspective, it does not matter. That's why God's kingdom was always the priority. Even the very life, His very life itself, Paul didn't care. As long as God's kingdom came first. You see, if we could just understand this one fact, and that is that life is much more simple when God is the priority in life. And the reason it's much more simple is you don't have to make all the decisions. You just follow what God says. God says, don't do it, don't do it. If He says, do it, do it. Pretty simple, right? When you lose that perspective, life gets very complicated. Because everybody has an opinion. And everybody will tell you what you should or should not do. Then there's your personal likes and desires. Your personal directions that you want to go. And first thing you know, you're pulled in every direction. And you don't understand what happened to life. If God's the priority, there's no pull. It's all about Him. All about God's kingdom. And you make sure that's first. The other things will not matter. That's why Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven, right? Make it about more than this life. Then number three, vision for the future. Paul said that I may finish my course. That word finish, it means literally to complete one's mission. Paul was always looking ahead. Even here, he's looking ahead. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was always looking to the next step. He had a vision for the future. He disregarded the past. Paul wasn't worried about what happened last week, last month, last year. You see, up to this point, Paul's done a lot of good things. He's established a lot of churches. He's preached a lot of messages. He's seen a lot of people saved. But he never lived in the past. Paul had regrets. One of his biggest regrets was persecuting the church. Oh, he hated that he had that in his past, you know? I understand that. But you know what he couldn't do? He couldn't change any of that. That's why he was always looking forward. You see, right now he knows he's got to go to Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, he's going to wind up in Rome. And he's going to preach the gospel to all these officials and the kings and everyone along the way. I want to tell you, are you listening? Because this is what this whole message comes down to. Are you listening? Okay. All you have left of this course, this mission, is what's ahead. Does that make sense? All you have left is what's ahead. You can, and I've heard people, you know, boy, I regret what I've done in the past. You can't do anything about it. If it was sinful, you know, take it to the Lord, ask forgiveness, repent of it, and forget about it. Don't let that hold you back. I've heard people say, well, I just don't feel right about serving. It's not right for you not to serve. Amen. You know. Forget it. Give it to God and let God take it. At the same time, those really good things in the past, don't live back there either. You know. God's done some really good things and we should be very much appreciative of it. But have you ever known anybody that lived in the past? What do you think when somebody says, back when I was your age? Hello, yeah. Back when I was your age, if you ever use that phrase, let me just give you a little insight. They probably don't care. See, when I was their age, it wasn't the same. They're dealing with different stuff now. There's a different life now, and it's a lot different. And listen, I'm a nostalgic guy. That's why I watch Andy Griffith, and that's why I watch John Wayne and all those old movies. I like old stuff. But there's one thing I still like to do. I like to have a vision for the future. Okay? I've got to have a vision for the future. And I'm not talking about next month, even next year. I'm talking about a vision for the future so that in 20 years, if Jesus doesn't come back, this church is not only okay, but it's prospering, seeing people saved and going strong for the glory of God. That has to be our vision. And if you're not real careful, the older we become, the less of that vision we'll have. Paul is not serving for himself. You know? He's not. He's preparing the way for the churches that he started that's going to come behind him. That has to be our mentality. That's my mentality, you know. Honestly, as pastor, I'm preparing or trying to prepare, want to prepare this church for the 20-year-olds that are coming up now, for the college students that are coming along now. And then when y'all get there, let me give you some insight. You just remember you heard this from an old preacher one day, right? You're going to grow and you're going to get to be my age. Don't get all sour and crabby and old and say, oh, we don't need any of that. No, you remember. You remember. You were young once. And what you cared about was the future. The only future that's worth anything are the people we will win to Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the future that will matter. But you have to have that vision for the future. Because if you don't, spiritually you'll die. In closing, you got to know where you're going. You not just have a vision for the future, but you got to know where you're going. By that, I mean eternally speaking. Are you going to heaven? You see, my vision for the future is not just this earth. It's not just this life. My vision for the future is there's a place prepared for me that'll never fade away. Eternal in the heavens. You see, you've got to have that assurance. If you don't have that assurance, this life is not worth anything, and the next life is not worth anything to you. Your vision has got to go beyond the here and now into eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul said, "For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." You know what keeps me going? When I watch the news and I see everything I'm against and where the world's going and I think, oh my goodness, this is awful. I go back to remember that Jesus has saved me and it's going to get better one of these days. Not the world. But I'm talking about from an eternal perspective. I haven't seen the good life yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And you need that assurance. And as a child of God, that should always paint a smile on our face. That should always encourage us. We should always have that attitude of, I know things may be really tough right now, but oh, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or entered in the heart of man, things that God has prepared for him, right? It's going to get better. It is. Maybe not on this earth, but heaven's going to be better if that's your home. Now, I said you got to know where you're going. See, there's another alternative. There's a heaven, and where's the other one? There's hell. And it's all based on what you do with Jesus. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can only accept the sacrifice, the free gift of salvation that Jesus bought, paid for you upon the cross of Calvary when He died and was crucified for your sins. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what's wrong with our culture today? There's so many people that don't know where they're going. Do you? I can always smile. Well, so far in life, I've always been able to smile, no matter what's going on, because I know that I'm a child of God and He's prepared heaven for me. I don't know what it would be like not to have that assurance. But if you're here today and you do not have that assurance, let me tell you, you need to be saved. You need, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you, that's me, that's anybody here. Have you called upon Jesus as your Savior? If not, will you do that today? We're going to have a verse of invitation. And I want to ask everyone, if you're not saved, please come. Please come. And if you are saved, and you know, sometimes spiritually we just kind of get in a rut. We forget to look around at our past and look at where we are in the present and get this vision for the future. And we get in this big old rut and just don't go anywhere and don't do anything. Maybe you're here today and it's time for rededication. Perhaps you're here today and it's time for prayer time at the altar. Whatever the spiritual need is, listen to Jesus and do what He leads you to do. Our Father in heaven, as we bow before You, I pray, Lord, Your will be done. I pray, Lord, You know this church. You know each individual. Father, You know the needs of every individual, the spiritual needs. And so today, I pray that we address those needs. Give us hearts to respond to You. Give us a desire to respond, a willingness. Take us, Lord, and mold us into the servant that You have called us to be. Again, we pray, Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.